It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Right now, Chicago Cubs fans are on the edges of their seats, waiting to see if their beloved Cubbies might finally win a World Series. Many of those fans have never seen the Cubs go to the World Series in their lifetimes, but in spite of a 71-year slump, they still cheer for the Cubs. And here's a clip from number one Cubs fan Harry Carey expressing that kind of optimism back in 1991.
Well, a lot of things happened today, and they were all great, and they were all thrilling, and they were all dramatic. Too bad we couldn't have had a victory that meant a pennant, but that will come. Sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series, and maybe sooner than we think. It seems to me that we don't have too much time. It seems the ingredients, the nucleus is there. It's just a matter, I don't know who the manager's going to be. I don't know whether it be Essien, whether it be Jim Fry, whether it be Davey Johnson. One thing's certain, it requires a veteran manager.
Harry Carey sadly did not live to see this series, but many Cubs fans and, yes, also Cleveland Indians fans are living a dream right now. Today we'll explore that kind of fandom, and we want to hear your story. Whatever team you cheer for in whatever sport, what turned you into a diehard fan? And what does your team mean to you and maybe also to your family? Why is it important to you? But we're going to start the hour, I think, as we should, with the Cubs. Randy Wehhofer is Director of Media Relations and Play-by-Play Broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. Hello, Randy.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And, all right, let's go back in time for you. When did you become a Cubs fan?
Since I can remember. I grew up in suburban Chicago and my grandfathers were Cub fans, and my grandmothers were Cub fans, and passed it along to my parents. And certainly, as a kid in Chicago, that's part of the tradition. They were on during the day. I'm old enough to be born before lights were installed at Wrigley Field. So when you came home from school in the spring and the fall, they were on television. And, you know, my grandmothers didn't particularly care for soap operas. So when I spent time with them in the summers, WGN television and the Chicago Cubs were really the only alternative before they had cable TV or all the choices that we have today. So they were not just a part of your sports fan, part of your life, but they were kind of a lifestyle because of the day games and just the role that they played not only in Chicago, but around the Midwest.
And, of course, there's been this long drought between World Series appearances, and a lot of people have described the Cubs as sort of lovable losers or underdogs over the years. Do you feel like that added to your affection for the team when you were growing up?
Not necessarily. I was always hoping they would change it much sooner than they have in a lot of ways. I think there's a lot of factors that go into that. You know, I was 9 years old and in the fourth grade in 1984 when they had that great team that had the lead in the division series against the Padres, and it looked like the drought might end that season. And all the Ryan Sandberg and the great players that are still heroes in Chicago. And I remember uncles keeping scrapbooks of all the newspaper clippings of that team. And it was the hope that they were good and going to stay good. At a time in my life when I was falling in love with the game of baseball and playing Little League, that it was all just kind of a perfect mix. I never really was very nostalgic for the drought part of it. and I, much like I think kids now aren't nostalgic for it either, you're hoping to be part of the group that does bring it. But I think before you can appreciate the history, you get attached to the players that you like.
Do you think, though, that the fact that there was this long drought, does that make Cubs fans in some way more loyal than, say, Yankees fans? Because they are there through the bad times and the bad times and the bad times.
I think there's certainly an element of that. Being a Cubs fan builds character for certain. And I think you get to a point in your life where whether it's been 5 years, 50 years, or 75 years, or however long you've been watching, if you've stuck with them this long, why would you change now for fear that next year really will be the year and then you had moved on and weren't part of the fun. So I think all of that anxiety is a natural part of being part of this fan base.
So you've been opening up Principal Park, the iCubs Park, for Cubs fans to come and watch these games. What was it like last night?
It was a lot of fun. You know, a Tuesday night crowd was a little bit different than Friday and Saturday over the weekend, but certainly this moderate weather that we're having for this time of year it certainly plays a role in that. Lots of families and kids coming down even on a school night, and you know, even in my own home, bedtime takes a back seat to maybe being part of this, and I think that's part of the tradition of passing this part of your life down from generation to generation. We've seen a lot of that at the ballpark, and fans come up and thank us for the opportunity. I think sports is a shared experience for many people, and coming to the ballpark for our season ticket holders and for families, you know, you can't go to a sports bar with your kids to watch the game, but if you want to have that community experience to watch the game that so many people enjoy, the ballpark's a great alternative for that.
And, of course, iCubs fans are often Chicago Cubs fans. There's definitely a connection there, but there's a very strong connection because a lot of the guys who are on the roster this year actually played for the iCubs, right?
Yeah, 16 of the 25 guys on the active roster are former Iowa Cubs, and significant former Iowa Cubs in the regard that they weren't just here for a week or so. They, you know, Chris Bryant spent the whole second half of 2014 and clinched the minor league home run championship and the minor league player of the year in an Iowa Cubs uniform. And Kyle Schwarber and Addison Russell and Kyle Hendricks and Jake Arrieta, they were all part of it. Wilson Contreras and Albert Almora Jr., Carl Edwards Jr., they were here this season. They played for the Iowa Cubs earlier this spring and this summer before they got called up and made their way onto the postseason roster. So for all the reasons that high school sports are compelling because it's your neighbors and your friends and your relatives that are at the game, the fans that have made those kinds of bonds through coming to Principal Park and seeing those guys up close and personal, I do think it makes it more personal and more meaningful for those folks that do follow our team on a regular basis.
How many people have you had coming out to the ballpark to watch a screen?
The weather and the day of the week varies. I think we had over 3,000 last Friday, which was the high point, and just over 2,000 on Saturday, and we had just under 1,000 last night on a Tuesday and a work night and a school night. And, you know, when it rained all night in Des Moines while the Cubs were in San Francisco and played 16 innings, and we were there till 2 o'clock in the morning. The group dwindled to just a couple of handfuls, but there were people there wanting to watch and wanting to kind of ride this out and really enjoy it.
And you actually went to Wrigley for the game on Friday, right?
We were very fortunate as a staff that our ownership group bought a block of tickets for their own use, and then shared with our full-time staff the chance to go. So I had the opportunity to go Friday night to game three, which was such an unbelievable atmosphere. You know, having been to games there as a kid, and I'd gone to a game in September in the regular season, and it's always special to be at Wrigley Field. But to think now that I was in attendance, even though it was a Cub loss, for the first World Series game at Wrigley Field since 1945 is pretty an incredible thing to say.
I'm talking this hour with Randy Wehoff, director of media relations and play-by-play broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. We're exploring fandom this hour. No matter what team you root for, we'd love to hear your story at 866-780-9100. Focusing on the Cubs right now, there are so many Cubs fans in Iowa, and I'm going to bring another Cubs fan into the conversation. Chip Marshall grew up in Cedar Rapids. He was a sports writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, but now this Cubs fan lives in Chicago. Hello, Chip.
Hello, Charity. Thanks for having me on, and my heart and prayers go out to the two Des Moines police officers and their families.
Yes, all of us are thinking of them today. Chip, I want to go back to your childhood. When did you first start rooting for the Chicago Cubs?
Well, that goes back about 50 years. Boy, a lot of anxiety in between, but I grew up on the southeast side of Cedar Rapids. And going back to about 10 years old, when we were in 10, 11, and 12 and 13-year-old baseball, That's how far I go back, and I really fell in love with them summer of 69 when my father took myself and a couple of my brothers to Wrigley Field for the first time. And I was treated to a game of the week, which was televised on NBC, and the Cubs posted an 11-5 win. That was August 23rd, 1969. I'll never forget it. And Jim Hickman hit two home runs. One was a grand slam, and Ron Santo and Ernie Banks homered, and, boy, that was it. I mean, that bit me, seeing those fans. And back then, a full house was considered 27,000 people, but just an unbelievable experience. And then followed the Cubs on radio, on WGN radio. We didn't have the WGN TV. We did get a few games on KCRG TV, mostly on Sundays and holidays. But, boy, our bread and butter was Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreau on WGN radio. And that meant listening to a lot of games with a lot of static and just being bit by those guys calling the play-by-play and color for Cubs broadcast.
And your dad was a Cubs fan, right? Oh, so was it preordained that you would also be a Cubs fan, do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. I got 12 brothers and sisters, and they're all Cub fans. And you would think possibly just one of those siblings would be, let's say, a Cardinal fan, a Royals fan, you know, Twins fan. But, no, it's in our bloodline, and, you know, it's something you don't just get off being a Cub fan, no matter the heartbreaks. You would need a 12-step program to even disassociate yourself or disconnect from being a Cub fan.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. This hour, we're talking about being a fan, what it means to cheer for a team, maybe for a lifetime. And, of course, a lot of Chicago Cubs fans are living the dream right now. Chip Marshall, lifelong Chicago Cubs fan, is here with me right now, along with Randy Wayhoffer, Director of Media Relations and Play-by-Play Broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. This is Talk of Iowa. The Cubs are gonna win today. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about what it means to be a sports fan. What makes a fan a fan? Of course, a lot of Chicago Cub fans have been loyal through many, many, many years waiting for the Chicago Cubs to finally go to the World Series the first time in 71 years, living the dream right now. A lot of hopes and dreams resting on the final game of the series. With me this hour, Randy Wayhoffer, he's Director of Media Relations and Play-by-Play Broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. And Chip Marshall is here. He grew up in Cedar Rapids. He's been a lifelong Cubs fan. He was a sports writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Now he lives in Chicago. And Chip, you mentioned that your dad took you and one of your brothers to Wrigley Field back in 1969. And you then also mentioned that you have 12 brothers and sisters. So how is it that you got to be one of the kids to go to Wrigley Field with your dad?
Well, I was one of the older kids. So that's how we were kind of labeled, the older kids, younger kids, middle kids. And thank goodness we were the fortunate ones as far as I think probably because we were playing kid league baseball. And, you know, I was thinking of this. We used to buy baseball cards down at East End Pharmacy, and then about two blocks away was Mises Grocery Store. So, I mean, we were infatuated with baseball, especially like box scores. You could get so much out of a box score, and we would get that afternoon paper and just go through those and just take a magnifying glass to them, basically. So huge baseball fans. And again, this was pretty much before TV, except for the game of the week on Saturday. And it was an unbelievable opportunity growing up. Just I look back now, our kid league days, that was like the major leagues. I mean, and this was back before really more than a handful of moms would even watch the games. These were at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, and there were no parents there. And for us to say it was like the major leagues, it was just us kids. But, boy, we imitated these guys' batting stances. to this day, I'm friends, great friends, lifelong friends with these guys I played with, my teammates.
You have always wanted the Chicago Cubs to win the pennant, and this year, of course, they did. How did you react when they finally clinched it?
Well, I was shocked by my reaction. First of all, I don't know what it was. I had all these plans to cry and whoop it up and celebrate. You know, the Cubs have won the pennant. The Cubs have won the pennant. And I actually got caught off a little bit guard by the game-ending double play. It happened so fast. But I was sitting alone at home with my wife. My kids were out babysitting, and one was at a party. And I was silenced. I was shocked that I was left speechless. I just stared at the TV. I watched the celebration. I gave my wife a hug and a kiss, and I think she thought she didn't know what I was going to do because I just sat there stunned. I don't know what it was. I'd waited for this. I'd replayed the big celebration over in my mind. I dreamt about this day. And then to find myself just standing in my living room, I'm guessing maybe I was just so old now that I don't do some of those things. But believe me, I was thrilled, happy, out of my mind. But yet there I stood in, I guess, disbelief or shock.
Were you truly shocked? Did you think, I mean, there have been so many near misses, so many losses over the years. Did you have a hard time believing that they won the pennant?
Are you kidding me, Charity? I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm a 50-year Cub fan. I won't be relieved until the final out. I heard you ask Randy, how are you hopeful? Do you think this is here? I cannot even say that until, you know, the final out. I am a worrywart. I'm like most lifelong Cub fans, the anxiety, the stress. Just the other day watching the last two games, each and every pitch, you're second-guessing the manager. Why is he bringing him in? What's he doing here? I mean, I don't think it will ever go away until that pinnacle of the World Series championship is in the books.
So even though it's been a good year for the Cubs, there's been a lot of stress for you this year?
Oh, you know what? 103 wins. This might have been, for me, the most stressful season of all. And you think, why is that? And it's, I don't know. It's just you have these expectations, but I get called out for criticizing Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon's the best manager we've ever had. But yet I criticize him, and I question his – I always say, Joe's overmanaging again. He's outsmarting himself. But yet I know he's the best manager we've ever had, and I have to tell these younger folks, look, I've been around since 1969. I've criticized managers since 1969. So – you young guys, don't tell me what's proper and what I can do and can't do. But, you know, it's a wonderful team, and people say, well, look, we're poised to win many World Series titles. Well, no, I don't buy that. You don't know what's going to happen. Nothing's guaranteed. We need to win it this year and get the monkey and the goat off our back, and then I'll relax. I guarantee you. If we win tonight, my life will be complete.
Randy, does a lot of this resonate with you? I mean, Cubs fans are pretty superstitious.
Absolutely. I think my perspective has changed so much because I'm spoiled to have the connection with the Iowa Cubs that I do. And because of the personal ties and being able to spend some time with Kyle Hendricks and Chris Bryant and I don't think my angst is as bad this year because I understand that this group of players is uniquely positioned to accomplish this because no one's expectations for their performance are greater than their own. And while they are smart people and compassionate people, I find that Bryant and Hendricks and this group, Rizzo, the whole group down the line, they want this for them and want to bring the rest of us along for the ride. And I like and respect enough of these guys so much that I find myself watching, wanting to make sure that they have a representative effort of how good that they are, and that enjoyment will come. I think the stress for me has come in the criticism of guys like Addison Russell or the guys that Rizzo that got off to slow starts, because I know that they're better than that, and I don't want their careers to be defined in a negative way by this moment any more than any before. So I think there's a different feeling for me a little bit in that I'm genuinely rooting for them to have this moment, because I've seen the work that's gone into putting them in this place.
Chip, you mentioned the goat curse. For people who aren't Cubs fans, explain that for us.
Well, supposedly way back when, this tavern owner, I think Sam Sianis or one of his relatives, was denied bringing his goat into the ballpark. And now the goat was allowed in, I know at one time, in Chicago Stadium and had a little perch there or whatever, but the guard had said, no, you can't bring the goat in. It was an Andy Frayne usher. And when he asked him to go ask the boss, William Wrigley, he said, no, the goat smells. We can't have him in here. So Sianis supposedly said, you'll never win again, and walked away with his goat and went back to his tavern. And so that supposedly is the curse. You know, you'll never win a World Series title again. So, you know, I don't believe in it, of course. I don't believe in the Bartman curse.
And
what's
the Bartman curse?
Well, Steve Bartman, and I was at this Game 6 of the 2003 NLCS, and he was the guy that reached over the wall, tried to catch a foul ball in front of Moises Alou, and it hit off his hand, and, you know, Alou could have caught the ball. And then the roof caved in right after that. Everybody lost their marbles, and Pryor blew up the pitcher, and, you know, that was the end of that. Even though we had a Game 7, everybody, that seemed to suck the life out of the Cubs, that they didn't win that Game 6, and they had a big lead at the time. So none of that holds true. There are no curses. However, stuff does seem to go wrong. That in 84 was a Leon Durham missed a ground ball through his glove that evidently had fallen in a bucket of Gatorade on the bench. So there's all these you know, stories of gloom and doom that were affected by this Sianis goat curse. And of course, none of it's true. But that said, Cub fans like myself are the most superstitious people in the world. We'll say that didn't have an effect, but boy, I tell you, I was wearing the same shirt, same Cubs jersey, same jeans, same undershirt, same shoes, holding the same glove, throwing a ball into it last night as to not take any chances.
All right, and you'll do that again tonight, right?
I will do that again.
Okay. We're counting on you, Chip.
Believe me, I blame myself for a lot of big game losses during the season and then the playoffs because of our fear. And like I said, we don't believe in curses, but yet we must somehow believe that we can affect a ball game.
Right. We're talking about what it means to be a sports fan and where this kind of fandom comes from this hour. With me, Chip Marshall. He grew up in Cedar Rapids. He's a huge Chicago Cubs fan and was a sports writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette for many years. He lives in Chicago now. Randy Wehhofer is here with us, Director of Media Relations and play-by-play broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. We also want to hear your story. And you don't have to be a Cubs fan to share your story, although we are hearing from quite a few Cubs fans right now. Tim is on the line in Mason City. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hi, what's your story?
I'm sure glad that Rizzo, as well as Baez and Contreras, finally got on the stick. So I'm looking forward to tonight's game. But Randy's comments earlier about so many Iowa Cubs going up to the bigs this year reminded me of a very tender memory. Back in the early 70s, my mom died in the summer, and I stayed with Dad for about a month before going back to college. And showed him how to cook and housekeep and whatnot. And we went to many of the, it was the Iowa Oaks then, but Joe Rudy, Gene Tennis, and Vida Blue all went up to the Oakland A's that year, and it led to a dynasty. That they had the World Series rings for 3 years after that. So it's just a fond memory.
And how are you feeling going into the game tonight?
Just excited, that's all. I mean, I sure hope they pull it off. And I kind of hope that Kluber is pitching again because I think he's used up. So I don't know who they have pitching tonight.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call to join the conversation. We have quite a few emails here. This one's from Carol. She says, I've been thinking about why I've been such a diehard Cubs fan for 60 years. It's not so much that I have been there for the Cubs, but that the Cubs have been there for me through joy and heartbreak, through deaths and births, marriage and divorce, triumphs and traumas. The Cubs have been a constant. Spending hours listening to my Cubs through the chaos of life gave me something to hold on to and the permission to believe and to dream. She says, thanks for recognizing the special magic of Cubby Blue on your show. And Chip, that sounds like something that might resonate with you. This is just something that's been there through everything in your life.
Well, it really has had quite a profound effect on me, and probably not in a good way, but, you know, living through this 50 years of anxiety, stress, heartbreak, probably not a good thing. But it, as Randy said, it really is, you got to look back, it really is a character builder. I think it affects the way you look at things and maybe, you know, not get too hyped up about other things. And it really is a character builder. Now, as he mentioned, rather not have been through a lot of this stuff, but, you know, it's happened. I remember in 84 when I worked at the Gazette, my schedule, I remember the next week I'd covered the previous series, I think it was the National League Divisional Series, but I was scheduled for the World Series if the Cubs won in San Diego. So I covered a little bit of, it would have been the NLCS, but it was back then it was only five games, so it was a best of three. But the following week I was scheduled to cover the World Series, Detroit and the Cubs, if that happened. And it had a scribble through the whole week and a question mark, World Series. Well, guess what? I never made it to that World Series. So just a lot of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's like carrying a cross. It really is. And I do think there's been some positive things that come out of it. You do tend to take some things with a grain of salt. But, man, I want it to be over. I want it to be over. And as I mentioned, it's going to be stressful pitch by pitch. Right now, I can't even stand waiting for the game to get on.
Did you ever think about giving up on the Cubs?
Never. You know, it's not something you do. You can't do it. Now, I heard a guy the other day I ran into saying I threw my Cub hat away and burned it in 89, I think it was. I mean, really? Can you really do that? If I had done something like that, would I really have not been a Cub fan anymore? It's impossible. It's impossible.
So it's a big part of your identity, too. It's not just about cheering for the team. It's part of what makes you you.
Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, even, you know, I'm getting texts all the time, stuff all through the game, people calling me out, you know, people that I haven't talked to in 30 years that know they're happy for me. And it's just amazing how many people I've connected with that remember me even 50 years ago as a Cub fan. And I really appreciate that people would remember that I was just, you know, that was Chip's thing, diehard Cub fan. He lived and died with them. And it's really, I mean, if they can pull it off tonight, and I always say if, I don't say we're going to do it, because I don't know. I don't know. And I think I always prepare myself for, which is sad that I'm always preparing myself for the worst part or the worst outcome. So then if there is a good outcome, you know, hey, you know, it's great. So.
All right, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about being a sports fan this hour, specifically being a Chicago Cubs fan, but other fans are welcome this hour. With me, Chip Marshall, who grew up in Cedar Rapids and was a sports writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Randy Wehhofer, series director of media relations and play-by-play broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. We'll get to more of your calls in just a few minutes. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about what it means to be a sports fan, what it means to live and die for your team. Of course, many Chicago Cubs fans are living a dream, seeing their Cubbies in the World Series for the first time in 71 years. And we've got a lot of people on the line ready to join this conversation. We'll hear from a few of those. We're also going to talk to a tattoo artist who gave a controversial tattoo just a little while ago about the Chicago Cubs curse being broken. We'll talk with him. With me right now, Randy Wehhofer, director of media relations and play-by-play broadcaster for the Iowa Cubs. Also, Chip Marshall, longtime Cubs fan who grew up in Cedar Rapids and was a sports writer for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And let's get to the phones quick. Here's Mark on the line in Marion. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the great topic. I was born in St. Louis and raised a Cardinals fan, of course, and I can never forget, you know, we come of age. As I was 6 years old in 1982 when the Cardinals won the World Series. You're talking Ozzie Smith, Bruce Sutter, Joaquin Andujar, all those great guys. And for me, the magic, you know, with my father, with my family, but really becoming aware of just how impactful this phenomenon was across the city, the radio, television, everywhere you went, it was just electric. And that has been with me over the course of the rest of my life. And so I had two questions. When I moved here to Iowa, I discovered this was Cubs land. I know that the Iowa Cubs had the connection to the Chicago Cubs. Has that always been there? Is that why Iowa has that relationship? Because I always thought they were natural Cardinals fans. But I do want everyone to know that I am rooting for the NL Central, of course, and I think this is just wonderful in baseball to have the ratings and all of this excitement again. And my second question is there a name for that phenomenon, you know, social psychology or something that, you know, just resonates with us, that happens with us at an early age? And just sticks with us, and as you've said, you know, really becomes part of who we are, defines us to some extent.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for your call. I don't think we have an answer to your second question. That's kind of what we're exploring this hour. But Randy, do you have an answer to his first question about the history of the Cubs in Iowa?
Oh, the Iowa Cubs have been the Chicago Cubs AAA affiliate since 1981. Chip referred to earlier the Iowa Oaks, or the caller did, pardon me, the Iowa Oaks previous to that. AAA baseball came to Des Moines in 1969, and we're affiliated with the White Sox and the Oakland A's for most of that time before the Cubs came in 1981, and we adopted the Chicago Cubs moniker, became the Iowa Cubs instead of the Iowa Oaks in 1982. So this history is actually one of the top five relationships in all of minor league baseball. There's 160 minor league teams across the country, and only four or five have longer relationships with their major league affiliate than we do. And I believe three of those that are longer are owned by the major league team. We are not owned by the Cubs, so that makes it particularly special.
Although, obviously, a lot of Cub fans in Iowa, the history goes back way farther than the affiliation between the iCubs.
Sure, the geography, the WGN connection, as Chip talked about with the radio, you know, it's been part of it. Everywhere we go on the road, there are people in Cubs uniforms coming to see the Iowa Cubs play, even at the minor league level, and especially this season when things were going so well. When the Cubs would go on the road and you'd watch the games or listen to the games, there was often more Cub fans in places like Milwaukee than there were Brewers fans when the Cubs were in town to play. There's that. It is a national brand for certain, and a lot of people live in Chicago. And a lot of people leave Chicago for a lot of reasons and go on to other places. And you see the following they have in Mesa for spring training. The Cubs draw more fans in spring training than most of the other teams combined in Arizona. It is certainly a national brand for Cubs baseball. And the connection here has to do with geography, the minor league team, the ability to follow the team, and all of those factors, and probably more that I'm not even aware of.
Well, my favorite Cubs fan is on the line here, and his affiliation goes back way before 1981. Dennis is on the line from Cedar Falls, my dad. Hi, Dad.
Hello, Charity.
Hi. So when did you become a Cubs fan?
1949.
And who introduced you to the team?
My grandfather.
So did
and
you...
I can tell you that some people slip away because my brother, who was indoctrinated at the same time, we were great Cub fans and very interested in playing ball. He isn't even paying attention.
Really? So how about you? Because you used to be maybe a bit stronger Cubs fan than you have been in recent years.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I went through a terrible illness a while, you know, 12, 13 years ago, and the Cubs helped me get through that summer. I will tell you that I've been watching a lot of Cub baseball, but the phenomenal thing I think is that this time it appears that the ball club is built for the future. So my feeling on this team was that if they didn't get it done this year, they're probably going to get it done in the next two or three years.
And
so, but obviously, it's pretty exciting right now because we're, you know, we got tonight, and I'd sure like to see it sooner than later.
Take
and
us back for
a
just
a lot of people that I know that have never seen it, and they've recently died, or you know, whatever.
Right.
But us Cub fans that are, well, the last time they're in the World Series, I was 1 year old, so I was not a Cub fan at that time.
Take us back, though, to the 1950s when you had just kind of discovered the Cubs. You were sharing that with your grandfather. What was the magic about then for you?
Just the fact that he was really, really excited about the Cubs, and he passed that along. So we adopted the heroes, Ernie Banks, Gene Baker, Dee Fondi, Hal Jeffcoat, you name it. Go way back further than that, Hank Saunders and Andy Pafko and so on, but Hank Sowers, I mean. But anyway, The first game that my parents took me to in Chicago was between the Cubs and the Brooklyn Dodgers in the mid-50s. And of course, the Dodgers were the ones that really integrated baseball. And they had Jackie Robinson Newcomb Campanella, and just they had a number of African American ball players, and the African American community in Chicago turned out in droves to watch the Cubs play Brooklyn, and being a young boy from a small Iowa town, the crowd was as fascinating as the ball team.
Yeah, but, pretty exciting time.
Yeah, it's just. So it's, you know, been a part of me. I don't live and die by it, but boy, if it happens tonight, what a wonderful thing.
Dad, thanks a lot for your call. Dennis from Cedar Falls. And I want to turn now to a man who did a controversial piece of art just recently. Rick Gray is the manager of Lucky Gal Tattoo on the south side of Des Moines, and a tattoo that he did just a few days ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago now, has been seen all over. It's been on ESPN. It's been all over the place. It says, holy cow, curse broken, World Series champion. So maybe a bit of a premature tattoo there. Hello, Rick.
Hello.
So, I mean, first of all, do you find yourself doing a lot of tattoos for sports fans of their team logo?
As a general rule, yeah. The sports fan loves to show off their affiliation for their brand.
So when you were asked to do a World Series championship Cubs tattoo well before they clinched this series, if that happens tonight, what was your reaction?
I was excited. I thought it was a fun idea. I incorporated a goat into the Cubs logo. So it's not technically, I mean, it's a Cubs tattoo. It doesn't say Cubs, and I didn't use their logo, but it does imply that they are going to win. So,
and the man who received the tattoo wouldn't talk to us today. He's received a tremendous backlash about getting this tattoo. A lot of superstitious Cubs fans think that he's cursing the Cubs by getting this tattoo. What's your reaction to that?
I would say, you know, we did it before they even made it into the World Series. So it didn't jinx them. You know, they made it to Game 7. They're doing great. You know, I think it's a really exciting series. And he's a really avid Cubs fan. He wasn't trying to hurt the team. And it wasn't like, you know, he won a contest. That was the reason he got the tattoo. So, you know, it wasn't like he just woke up one day and like, I'm going to jinx my favorite team.
Well, and we don't believe in superstition here, so we're going to give Noel a pass on getting that tattoo. As a tattoo artist who does a lot of sports-themed tattoos in Iowa, what teams are people asking for most of the time?
It's a lot of Hawkeyes. I've done some Vikings, Huskers, Chicago Bears.
Why do you think somebody would want their sports team's logo tattooed onto their skin?
I think it feeds into the whole unity with the team. When you hear a sports fan talking, they're like, I can't believe we didn't do such and such. You know, they talk like they're a member of the team. And I think that a tattoo really helps them feel like they've permanently identified with. That's the thing about a sports fan, is that if you're a fan of the Raiders, you're going to support them no matter what the season is, you know, year in and year out. So
it's a way to really cement it as part of your identity and maybe even make sort of a blood brother kind of oath with the team.
Right. And you just own it. And then, you know, then everyone can see your dedication to your brand, you know.
So if the Cubs win tonight, how many Cubs tattoos do you think you'll be doing in the next few days?
Probably a lot, I would guess. Nobody gets the one that Noel got.
That one's special, huh?
Right.
And are you a fan?
No, but I am this year. I don't usually follow sports, but this is pretty exciting.
All right, Rick, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks, bye.
Rick Gray, manager of the Lucky Gal Tattoo on the south side of Des Moines. He did a fairly controversial tattoo back in September, actually. It says, holy cow, curse broken, World Series champions, and has a stylized Cub logo with the goat in the center. Boy, Chip, hearing about that tattoo, we know that the guy who got it has gotten quite a bit of backlash. Does that make you nervous, personally, as a little bit of a superstitious Cubs fan?
I wish he hadn't done that.
All right. But so far, so good. Let's get.
I'll give him credit. I like the hope, because I'm not a guy that with this team that's always hopeful. So it's probably my bad. I'll give him credit for being positive.
All right. Let's slip in another couple of calls here. Kim is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how you doing? I'm really enjoying this show.
Oh, thanks. Tell us your story quickly.
Well, you know, I'm 63 years old. I grew up in central Iowa, and going out to the grandparents' farm on the weekends,
my grandpa was a real sports fan, and we just laid, or I laid on the floor in front of this beautiful old walnut Crosley radio, like a or two vintage thing with a big speaker in the bottom. I was just, you know, up on my elbows, listening to the game, right, and listening to the great commentators of the day. And I, you know, grandpa's dead and gone, but I still have the radio, and I listen to the games. You know, every now and then I'd bust it out and turn it on, listen to some baseball games. And so now I'm a grandparent. I've got grandkids. I've been going to the iCup games for years and years. And we got season tickets. And we, you know, so we, these guys that are playing now, they're our kids because we saw them playing in Des Moines. We got to talk to them and get their autographs. And, but just basically, see, they're really good people. They're really, really good people. And they do the Cubs logo a lot of pride. So it's been a lot of fun for me to be able to bring my daughter and grandkids down to the games too and share the joy and the love of this. It's a great organization, and it just happened to be really good. I've known all along that this year was the year that they were going to win. I mean, it just didn't even occur to me that there wouldn't be a game seven because this is how they do it, you know. So it's been a lot of fun. I appreciate this organization. Everybody here has been so good, and they're really doing their best to you know, make it easy to be a Cub fan, you know.
Nice. So, and you're passing it along to your grandkids.
My daughter and granddaughter are coming down tonight. We're going to go out to Sec Taylor and watch it. So
nice.
We're going to win.
Nice. Kim, thank you so much for your call. And let's end the hour with this email from Diane. I am from a huge family with a seriously long lineage of Cubs fans. All of our vacations revolved around Cubs games. We'd go to Chicago for weekend series and St. Louis for series as well, waiting in line for the right field bleacher seats. In Chicago, we'd stay with my aunt and uncle who lived in Lincoln Park. Dad would drop us off at the ballpark a few hours before the game so we could get the first row of the general admission seats, always on the first base side, as directed by our dad. We spent the few hours, sometimes freezing cold, watching the Cubs warm up and do batting practice. We even got a few autographs, Jim Hickman and Glenn Beckett and Manny Trillo, my favorite. Great memories abound. The only sadness is that Dad died before he got to see his beloved Cubbies win it all. Diane, thank you so much for that email. I know a lot of people are missing some of their favorite Cubs fans in their lives who didn't live to see this World Series. Rick, what are your plans for watching? Pardon me. I'm sorry about that. Let Rick go a couple of minutes ago. Chip, let me ask you, what are your plans for watching the game tonight?
Well, I need a lot of elbow room. I do not like watching Cub games with anybody but really family, and that's got to be either immediate family or extended family and not too many people in the room. I'm such a nervous wreck and so focused on watching the big screen. I'll be very basically hiding out from the rest of the world watching this thing. And he talked about the people that have passed on. I think about that, but what I really think about is the people that are still here. And
all right.
That's the Cub guys from 69, 84.
Chip, we're out of time, but I hope we see a win tonight. Chip Marshall and Randy Wehhofer, thank you both so much. This is Talk of Iowa.
Yep.